Ephesians chapter number 6.
Verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. Note those two words. Spiritual wickedness. Those don't even sound like they go together, because we talk about spirituality and being spiritual and all of that, and the Bible speaks of that. But here it addresses spiritual wickedness. Wickedness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13, wherefore, in light of that, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench. That is a term that identifies putting out a fire, smothering a fire, stifling a fire. I believe you and I as believers ought to be given to stifling the fires of the enemy. But I'm afraid most of the time, as this same word quench is used in 1 Thessalonians 5, quench not the Spirit. I'm afraid that we, instead of quenching the fiery darts of the wicked and all the fires of the enemy, we're quick to quench the holy fire of the Spirit of God. Quench not. Brother Fultz, we're all going to stand before the Lord. We're going to give an account. But I believe it's going to be a sad day to face at the judgment seat of Christ all of the many times that we've poured water on the holy fires of God, throwed wet blankets of carnality on the holy fires, heavenly fires of God. I believe it's going to be a sad day. When Elijah went on Mount Carmel, you just stay standing a minute. You need to rest a minute anyway. When Elijah was on Mount Carmel facing the prophets of Baal, and he challenged them, if God be God, serve Him. Choose you this, or make up your mind. How long halt you between two opinions? And you know what he used to convince the unbelievers that God was God? Wasn't an altar that was involved. Wasn't a sacrifice, though that was involved. It wasn't even praying, though that was involved. It was the fact that when he prayed, 57 words, I believe, or 53 words, the Bible said the fire fell. It didn't fall when the unbelievers were praying, sacrificing, and going through their religious organization. No, none of that. But when the man of God prayed and God answered with fire, it convinced the whole nation, and they began to say, the Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God. So we need fire this morning. I won't get to that this morning. That's way on down. But I'm telling you, I felt a nudge to say that this morning. We need fire because it is the fire that's going to convince people of the realness and reality of God. That's right. Shall be able, verse number 16, to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I want y'all to go ahead and be seated. God ain't done with that yet. God is not done with that yet. Why do you think it's called fiery darts? Do you think that's just a phrase? You think that's just a word? No, they were literally on fire. Do you think there's good intentions behind the fiery darts? Do you think the enemy, when he shoots fiery darts at you, that he's wanting to bless you? No, I believe he means for them fiery darts to catch you on fire. Not for the Lord. No, that's a destructive fire. Amen? The fiery darts of the wicked. And then it goes into verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Here's three words right here that is probably as much more powerful probably than any of the other words combined put in here: in the Spirit. In the Spirit. In the Spirit. Chapter 5, verse 18, I read it a while ago. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Chapter 5, verse 18. Now we're praying in the Spirit. Your relationship to the Holy Spirit defines and speaks volumes about where you are spiritually. Is the Spirit of God leading you? Is the Spirit of God conforming you? Is the Spirit of God working in your life? Brother Mark, you know as well as I do, and all of you in here that studied the Scripture, you know that when a person gets saved, the working of God not only begins but will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, the work of God. Paul said in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And my question is today to you and to anyone that'll listen, where is that evident working of God in people that claim to be saved? I tell you, that's a good question. That's a Bible question. If he ever started it, he's continuing it. And he's still working on us to make us what he wants us to be. Amen? Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let's bow for just a word of prayer, and I'd ask that you pray for us and pray with us. Amen. Brother Fultz, if you'll pray for us, please. Yes, Lord. Yes, God, please help us this morning. Yes. Yes, Lord. Please help us, God. Yes, Lord. Amen. We've been looking at a series of thought on the subject of defending against defeat. I don't believe it's God's will for us to be defeated. There's no way that it's God's will for today's church to be in the shape that it's in. Are you listening? If we're defeated, and I've been defeated way too many times, and I've never done anything for the Lord when I was defeated. Because when I'm defeated, not only is it caused by self, it's my fault. Brother Mark's teaching now the book of Philippians, and a lot of that emphasis is on the spiritual overriding and overruling self. Amen. Yourself is your worst enemy. But not only is it caused by self, but it causes you to be self-centered, self-focused, thinking about me and me only. And that's where carnality comes in and certainly does away with spirituality, as for sure. But we've been looking at the thought of defending against defeat. I cannot defeat the devil, and you can't. We don't need to. Why? Because he's already defeated. I can't defeat the devil, but I can defend against him defeating me. Because God has set up boundaries. God has set up things in the Bible that the devil must respect. And I believe it's clearly shown forth in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 8, when it says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God." Then he said, "Resist the devil and he'll flee from you." Why does he flee from you? Can he not overcome you? Can he not whip you? Sure he could. But God set that boundary there that if our will is rejectful of him, the enemy, and submissive to God, the devil must honor that. When he dealt with Job, when the devil went before the Lord and was confronting Job, he only could go as far as God let him go. Do this, but don't do that. Take this, but don't touch this. Amen. And so the devil's got to do that. The devil's got to honor the word of God when it comes to your will and your life. Amen. So we looked at first in verse number 10. We said, first of all, we are defeated because of a deficiency of power. Weakness will, listen, weakness is easily whipped. Amen. I don't believe the devil's a chief objective is to get you wicked. I believe his chief objective is to get you weak. Because if he can get you weak, he can get you wicked. Amen. If he can get you weak, he can whip you. If he gets you weak, you have nothing really of any threat to him. And I believe one of the classic probably examples of that we pointed out in that study was Samson. Samson, known for his strength and his power, supernatural power, but he got to being carnal and playing around with sin and taking his power with God for granted. And he lost his power. Lost his anointing, lost that. And when that happened, he was easily whipped. In fact, during that whole process, you can find him even being led by a small child, a small boy led Samson, the mighty warrior, the mighty champion was being led by a small boy to the very pillars that ended up being what he was tied to. And he, you know, of course, prayed and asked God for the strength at least for one more time. And he pushed those pillars down and destroyed all of the Philistines, killed more in his death than he did in his life. But the devil's desire is for us to be weak. The devil's desire is for us to be deficient in power. Why does it start out and say, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord"? He's fixing to tell us about the warfare. He's fixing to tell us in verse number 12 about our enemy that we cannot see, the different and various ranks of demonic forces that are working for the devil against us. But he's telling us here, you've got to have something more than physical power. You've got to, listen, our physical ability, physical strength won't be successful in spiritual warfare. We have got to have spiritual power. Of course, amen. And so we preached about that. But we're defeated many times because of a deficiency of power. When the devil makes his moves, We're weak and vulnerable, and instead of resisting, we play into it. We become a prey instead of go pray. So that's what we dealt with the other day. A second thing that we've already covered as well is last Sunday night, I believe it was, that we are defeated a lot of times when we are disengaged from the battle. That is, we are just not going to fight. We're not involved in the fight. Amen. And we use the word, and we're going to build on that word again today, and that is the word against. Six different times the word against is used in these verses. Several times, actually, in verse 11 and 12. Against. Disengaged from the battle. Boy, don't you know that pleases the devil right there? To not even be a fighter. To not even be given to the spiritual warfare. And by the way, we need all soldiers on board. Every saved person is a soldier. We need you on board. We need you engaged in the warfare against darkness and against spiritual wickedness and so forth. We need you. We don't need you helping out the enemy. We need you fighting against the enemy, standing against the enemy. So I believe that a lot of people's defeated because of a disengagement from the fight. Amen. And there's a lot of ways that reveal that disengagement. And we covered several of them the other night. Amen. Look at your relationship to the Bible. Look at your relationship to church. Look at your relationship to the Spirit of God, just to name three, or areas that would reveal if you are disengaged or not. Amen. A person that's not interested in the warfare is certainly not interested in walking in the Spirit, or being filled with the Spirit, or being faithful to church, or praying. Amen. A person that is not interested in the warfare. And I tell you, you and I ought to have a desire to do as much damage to the kingdom of darkness as we possibly can. Amen. We ought not to ever appear to be friendly to the works of darkness and the warfare of darkness. Amen. We're children of light. And we ought to live like that and act like that. But I want to deal with, I want to use that word against this morning again. And I want to talk about, if you want to just write down this one word, I believe we're defeated because many times of our difference. That word against identifies that there's two sides. There's a pro and a con. There's a for and against. There's an offense, there's a defense. There's two sides. And our difference is coming from the word against is that we have gotten messed up on that. We're against what we should be for and for what we should be against. I believe that we're messed up in that a lot in our lives. We're allowing things and tolerating things in our own personal life that scripturally should be gone and should be out of our life and should have no say-so in our life, no control in our life. I believe when you have bitterness and unforgiveness and ill will and division and disunity and evil speaking and clamor and wrath and anger and all of those things, all of those are just nothing but testimonies that you've allowed and tolerate things in you that should not be there. Amen. In other words, you're not against those things. Those things are against you, but you're allowing those things in your life. Amen? The word against identifies our relationship connection to things as we go through this life. Amen? All of which falls into two different categories. Against and agree. Listen, your life is going to have both of those. And you need to make sure, and it is your responsibility to make sure that both of those stays right. That you're against what you should be against, and you're agreeing with what you should agree with. Amen? Don't ever get those crossed up, and I have, and you have, and we have. And we probably will again, but may God help us to know that when we're defeated, it's because we got against something that was for us. And we were for something that was against us. We got messed up on that word against. That's why defeat came in our life. Amen. And when we're against what we're supposed to be against and we're for or agree with what we're supposed to be for and agree with, I don't believe defeat will be a part of our life. I don't believe it'll be a part of the church of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. When Jesus was speaking to Peter, but not about Peter, he said to Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. And Brother Jeff, listen to this next statement. Jesus said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is what it's supposed to be, in the condition it's supposed to be in, I want to tell you the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. I believe that means it cannot be defeated. That we will be a power to be reckoned with. Amen. That we, and listen, by the way, that term there, Matthew 16, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Brother Scott, that's not putting the church on the defense. That we only stand when we're attacked. But Brother Fultz, if I've ever studied that out right, it is that the church is on the offense. The church of the Lord Jesus is charging the gates of hell. The church of the Lord Jesus is on the offense. We're carrying the ball. We're not just in a reactive battle, but we're in a proactive battle. When's the last time that you as a person individually, amen, made some advances toward the kingdom of darkness? Most of them, amen. I believe the word difference, we're defeated in that word difference. We're not, we've got it messed up what we're different toward, amen. And you'll see that as we go along. When you talk about the word against, that word against identifies action. The word against identifies action. Can I ask you, and I'm asking us this morning, we that are saved specifically, are you actively against the works of darkness, the warfare of darkness? I mean, I don't think that's a difficult question. I don't think that's a question that needs a lot of explanation. Are you actively in action, engaged at being against the things of the devil and the things of the flesh even? It speaks of action. It speaks of aggression. The word against speaks of that which is apparent. We're not talking about a secret stand. We're not talking about a secret warfare that nobody sees, that nobody notices. We're talking about being against something very visibly, very openly against the things of this world and the things of the devil. Amen. I believe the church is in the shape it's in because we're not openly and visibly and actively, personally against some of these very things that the Bible is against. If the Bible's against it, you should be against it. If the Bible is for it, you should be for it. You should be agreeing with it. Isn't that right? But how many times we've got that messed up? What the Bible was against, I was for, and my flesh is for. What the Bible is for, my flesh is against. And I'm defeated when I have those differences messed up in my life. I mean, if you listen to a lot of the televangelists and the mega churches and things of that nature this morning, you will tend to believe that you shouldn't really be against nothing. That you really should be for everything. But how can that be? How can that be? Amen. I mean, you can't be for God and the devil at the same time. You can't be for the Spirit of God and the flesh at the same time. You can't be for darkness and light. You can't be for death and life at the same time. Why? They're all opposites. They're not the same. And I don't believe the Bible gives any leeway any time of secret Christianity. Well, preacher, I'm a secret believer and I'm in my own little way, I'm privately and secretly standing against, you know, wickedness. No, God wants it to be, yeah, he wants it to be personal and private and secret. You ought to have that going on in your life when nobody else sees and nobody else knows. You ought to have that. But it ought not to stay in the closet. It ought not to stay secret. It ought to be visible. Your church ought to know you're standing. Your family ought to know that you're standing. People you work with ought to know that you're standing against some things and for some things. Amen, that's right. That's right. I believe it'd be an absolute shame for someone to work with you, go to school with you, amen, live with you or live next to you and for months and years and never know anything about your Christian life. I think that'd be a shame. In fact, if you can hide it, you don't have it. If your salvation and your life with God is so small you can fold it up and nobody ever see it, then keep it folded up. Nobody needs to see it. But the salvation of the Bible is big, amen? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let it be verbal, let it be visible. Who are the redeemed? Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. That is, the hand of the enemy no longer is an authority in your life. The hand of the enemy is no longer controlling you and guiding you and manipulating you and influencing you, amen? We've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Amen. Out of the hand of the enemy. That's visible. Your salvation ought to be visible this morning to you and to others. Again, speaks of that which is adverse. Amen. When you say you're against something, that means you're an adversary to that. That means it is an adversary to you. Jordan, listen, are you against, what are you against this morning? You're to know in your heart and mind, I'm against this, I'm against that, and you're to have a list, you're to have some convictions in your life. Why? Because things around us are changing every day. This world is always changing. The shifting sands of this world are always changing. Everything about this world is always changing. And what I'm seeing is that a lot of people in church are changing with it. Amen. They're being conformed to this world, as Romans 12:2 speaks against. They're being conformed. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The child of God is not to be controlled by this world. The child of God is not to bow down to the threats and the manipulation and the intimidation of this world. Stand on your own two feet. Know what you believe. Have a conviction about it and wear a big sign that says not for sale. That's right, amen. Amen, that's right. If you ever start catering to compromise, it'll never stop. If you ever start entertaining the thought, well, I'm going to change in this area. I'm going to let up in this area. I'm not going to be dogmatic in this area. I'm not going to be as hard over here. I'm going to be soft over here. Start that, you'll never stop it. It'll continue through the rest of your life. And before it's over with, you've compromised with everything of any value. Amen, that's right. That's right. You may not say much about Preacher Rackley, but I want to tell you one thing I hope you'll be able to say is that he has not changed. That he has not changed. He's got more mature. I hope that's true. Amen. I hope I know more today than I've ever known. I hope that's true. But for somebody to say, well, Preacher Rackley's compromised, you might as well kill me if you tell me that. Amen. I've got some convictions in my life that I am confident that are biblically based. Are you listening? Many of which I've even preached here. Some listened to, some have adapted, some have rejected, but nevertheless, I'm still preaching them. Amen. Whether you do them or don't do them, amen, I'm still going to preach them because they're in the Bible. Amen. Those were convictions that I had that I didn't, listen, I had a godly mom, godly dad, godly grandparents, but I didn't get my convictions from them. Amen. Amen, that's right. And they're still not for sale. Amen. Do you have any convictions this morning? What are you against? We're going to deal with that in just a moment. Listen, I believe what you are against speaks loudly about what you're for. Because those two are opposites. And all I need to do to find out what you're for is to find out what you're against, or vice versa. Because you can't be against and for the same things. Against and for, or against and agree, is opposites. You can't be for light and darkness. You can't. You see, there's got to be an opposite. So all I need to do is find out what you're against, and then I'll know what you're for. Or find out what you're for, and I'll know what you're against. What you're against speaks volumes about what you're for. You ought to want it to be known. I'm against some things, but I'm also for the opposite. Amen. I'm not just against sin. Amen. I'm not just against sin. I'm to be for righteousness. I'm not just against darkness. I'm for light. I'm not just against deadness. I'm for life. Amen. Do you see what I'm talking about? I want it to be known. I want it to be visible that I'm against some things and I'm for the opposite of those things. I believe a lot of people are defeated in this hour, and churches are defeated in this hour because they've got away from the for and against principles of the Scripture, and now they've got into this this contemporary mode of thinking of how that we can entertain sinners and appeal to sinners, amen, without power and without purity and without holiness. Amen. Say, preacher, you're old-fashioned. Please write that down in the back of your Bible, because I want to be identified as that. Amen. The day that you see me up here preaching behind the sacred desk, handling the sacred Word of God in a pair of skinny jeans, please run me off. My shirt untucked. Are y'all listening? There ain't nothing spiritual about that. I'll tell you what that is. That is so-called, I'll put it in quotes, so-called men of God that are more interested in pleasing man than adhering to the holy and high calling of this pulpit and of the Word of God. Amen. That's right. When you see me preaching in biker boots, leather pants, sprayed on, I'm telling you, and this is on tape, run me out of town. I know the clothes don't make the preacher, but I want to tell you, there's something special about this office. There's something special about this high calling, the highest calling on planet Earth, the highest. Listen, I'd have to step down to be the president, amen, of the United States. There's not a higher calling, and I ought to address it with respect, amen. That's right. If that rubbed you raw, I'm sorry, I don't have any save. Against speaks what you're for, amen. Are you against matters that really don't matter? Are you for matters of in life that really is not going to matter? I think I just said the truth right there. I think a lot of people today are defeated spiritually, amen, because they're missing their purpose in life, which is spiritual and divine and heavenly and scriptural. They're missing out on that because they're more concerned about things that don't matter. They're for things that's really not going to be worth a hill of beans. Grandma Chapman used to tell me, won't be worth a hill of beans at the judgment seat. We're against things that really don't matter. We need to get all that straightened out. And I believe we'll find out why we're defeated. I believe that, amen? If you give your attention, your affection, your action, your aspirations to things that don't matter, then there's not going to be much left for that which does matter. I want to ask you three things, and I'm going to be done. Are you against the Father this morning? I want everybody to listen clearly. Are you against the Father this morning? You say, where do you get that at? I was hoping you would ask. Look in verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, and I don't know why in the world I overseen that. I overlooked this, it never even stood out to me. I guess God didn't want me to preach it on that when I was coming through verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Everybody note that word Lord? I looked up that word Lord, and Thayer's Bible dictionary or definition of that is, listen to it now. I believe a lot of people's defeated because they're against the Father. They're against the Lord, if you will. The word definition there is, he to whom a person or thing belongs. Everybody hear that? The Lord, it is he to whom a person or thing belongs, about which he has power of deciding. The Lord has power of deciding. You must have the, it goes on to say in the definition, has the power of deciding. The word Lord means master, means the possessor and disposer of a thing. The owner, one who has control of the person. I believe this. I believe I'm dealing right now with the problems of most people. They want Jesus to be their Savior, but not their Lord. Jesus, the Bible said, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. Why that emphasis, Brother Mark? Because if you don't have your relationship right with the Lord, how can you possibly have victory against the attacks of the enemy and the works of darkness? See, the devil don't have to deal with too many people because they're messed up with the Lordship of Christ. They're messed up with the Lordship of Christ. I'm going to give you that definition again, or at least bring out some emphasis of it. Do you belong to him? I know scripturally, if you've been saved, you've been bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:20 and 1 Corinthians 7:23, both of those talks about being purchased, being bought with a price. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He is in ownership. He is in possession. Is Jesus Christ your Lord? If we're expecting to have revival this week, next week, or next year, or at any time, with the exclusion of the Lordship of Christ, we can forget it. Isn't that the truth? If we're not willing for the Lord to be our owner, our boss, our master, amen, the possessor and disposer, the one who controls us, if we're not interested in that, friend, I promise you, we're not interested in revival. We're not interested in that. Now, I'm not asking you to agree with this. I know it's right. I'm dealing right now with the very reason why our churches are dead at 4 o'clock is that we're crossed up with the Lord. Crossed up with one another, that's just the consequence of being crossed up with the Lord. If you're crossed up with the head of the body, you'll be crossed up with the members of the body. Amen. Oh, we're having a time this morning. Most want the strength and might and power of Christ, but they don't want the supremacy of Christ. They don't want the mastering of Christ. They don't want that. And friend, I'm telling you, I can't, listen, it's burning in me. We may not jump in pews this morning, and you can't hardly do that with what I'm preaching this morning. It's hard to shout when you got a bulldog a hold of your britches leg, amen. But I'm telling you, we're messed up in our against and for areas, the difference. What we should be against, we're for many times, and what we're for, we're against, should be against many times, but it all boils down to this first thing. Am I against the Father? Am I against the Lord? Amen. Most preachers have watered down salvation and they never mention it. They're against lordship salvation. But the Bible said, amen, when the Philippian jailer came in, he said, what must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas answered together unanimously, together harmoniously, and they both said at the same time, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Brother Jeff, it's not Jesus Christ that people's got a problem with. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that people have a problem with. Amen. Herod had a problem with Jesus being born king. Matthew chapter 2, you look at it, the word king is used to describe Herod, and it's also used to describe Jesus, but there's one key note to bring out. When it said king, he is born king of the Jews, that's capital K. But when the king word is used on Herod, it's small case. Hallelujah. Amen. Herod hated the kingship of Christ so that he was willing to kill all the male babies from 2 years old and under mercilessly. Why? Because he had such a rejection against the authority of the kingship of Christ. Same principle, same truths with the lordship of Christ. Amen. We want Jesus to save us and take us to heaven, keep us out of hell, and be there ready for us at our ever beckoning call. But we don't want him to control us. We don't want him to be Lord and master in our life. Now friend, listen, I've been saved a long time. I've been preaching a long time. And I'm not the young preacher anymore. Still a young preacher, but not the young preacher anymore. But I'm telling you right now, friend, I am sick plumb up to my eyeballs of seeing people make profession. They're all tore up about getting saved. And then once they get saved, they plop down on a pew, if they even come to church. They don't have any desire, Brother Carroll, any hunger, any burden about going forward for the Lord and growing for the Lord. What's the deal with that? That's not in the Bible. I need some help for you to explain that to me because I can't find it in the Bible. Amen. You claim to be saved. Jesus was your Lord then, and he's your Lord thereafter. He has control in your life. He has the authority. He has the supremacy in your life to call the shots, to lead you, and you ought to love him to the point to where you say, yes, Lord. If you want me to go there, I'll go. If you want me to quit this, I'll quit this. If you want me to start that, I'll start that. What is it that you want? Amen. When I started out many years ago, when I got saved on the second night of a 7-week revival meeting. Wasn't planned 7 weeks, it just actually went 7 weeks. Actually, it's still going on in my own heart. I was the first one to get saved, first one to surrender to preach in that meeting. And I was 20 years old, wicked, ungodly. If God hadn't dealt with me that night, Brother Jeter, I'd have went to hell, sure as world, because I was well on my way. I already had all kinds of attachments to the things of this world that this flesh loved. But when God saved me, buddy, he put a complete halt to that and change and transformation to that. Bless his name. Hallelujah. Thank God, I'm telling you, I magnify the grace of God. Sister June, when I got saved, and my pastor, I want to tell you, my pastor had bust my hide every service. I mean, he preached against sin every service. It didn't matter what text he had, he was going to run it through. He was going to deal with sin. He was going to rip it up. He was going to preach it out. But you know what I never did? Are y'all listening? You wonder where I'm at today, if that's any admirable thing? Because I listened to preaching When my pastor preached in the Bible and showed me that this is wrong, I did not argue. If it was in my life, I went to an altar and I dealt with it. If it wasn't in my life, I went to the altar and said, Lord, I don't want that in my life ever. And amen. I listened to preaching. That was a characterization of revival back then. That was a characterization. That was an identity of people that got saved, that they was open for leadership. They was open to the Word of God. Not so now. People get saved now and you preach, show them plainly in the Bible. Listen, things you ought to be against, things you ought to be for, things you don't do, things you ought to do. And they just look at you like a dying cat in a hailstorm, make up their own mind, their own opinion. I ain't doing that, preacher. I'm not going to do that. I'll do some of that, but I'm not doing all that. I'll go so far, but I'm not going no further. And now we've got many of them that are up older and having babies and they're raising their children that way. And now we've got a whole church generation across the land now that don't have any convictions hardly at all in their life. It don't bother them at all to go cross grain with several things in the Scripture. Well, Lord, have mercy. Amen. You know that's right. It's not popular. This is not proper right here. By the way, let me just stop right here and say something to lost people. Lord, just impress my heart. What I'm preaching right now about the Lordship of Christ and Him being your Lord and your Master, amen, I want to tell you that's good news to you. You say, preacher, why should that be good news to me as a lost person? Because He's not your boss now, and look what a wreck you're in. He's not your Lord now. He's not King in your life now. And look at your life. Miserable. Trying to get everything you can get of this world. You're still unhappy. I got good news for you. When you get saved, you resign ownership of yourself. You become His property. The devil moves out. The Spirit of God moves in. Amen. And He becomes a master that loves you and that will lead you in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Thank God I'm glad today that I don't have my old master still in charge of my life. Without a doubt, ladies and gentlemen, if my old master, Brother Ron, would have been still in my life today, I would not definitely not be here preaching today. No doubt, Brother Aaron, I would not even be alive on the top side of this planet called Earth today because I was well on my way to a place called hell. Thank God. The devil's been upset ever since I got saved because he is not my boss no more. Hallelujah. Man, I'd like to preach there a little bit. But that's good news for you that are lost. Jesus becomes everything you can't. Jesus is your satisfaction, your joy, your salvation. Amen. Amen. He'll be your master. But it won't be like Pharaoh that'll beat you and bruise you and, hey man, just use you up and treat you like a stinking dog. No, I want to tell you, my master loves me. My master actually died for me. Oh yes, I love my master. I'm glad to be identified this morning afresh and anew as a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Am I against the Father? The Strong's Concordance definition of the word Lord means supremacy or one in supreme authority. Amen. Supreme authority. And the Strong's Concordance give one more, controller. You know, that's the very meaning behind being filled with the Spirit, is that you're being controlled. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You can do contrast between that, and also you can do a comparison. A man drunk with wine is being controlled and influenced by what's in him. In fact, I saw it the other day somewhere I was at preaching, and I saw not a beer store, but a liquor store or whatever. And it had on the sign spirits, something or another, whatever spirits. It's amazing, isn't it, that they identify the alcohol as spirits? A person drunk with wine is controlled, influenced, saturated, and it's controlling how he looks, how he walks, how he talks, how he acts, people he hangs around with. And you take that same comparison and says, but us, we that are saved, we don't do that, but we do this. We're to be filled with the Spirit, filled, saturated with the Spirit of God. And therefore, the Spirit of God is influencing us and controlling us. Would our church be what it is, or would it be more if the Spirit of God was in control? Amen. That's good preaching, Preacher Rackley.
I'll say my own amens this morning. That's how good I'm enjoying it. I'm on track and I know it. Amen. God, help us.
Are you against the Father, or should I say, do you agree with the Father? That's the opposite of against. Do you agree with the Father? Do you agree with the Father in the area of confession? 1 John 1:9, that's our Baptist verse, we've been told. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Did you know the word confess there means to agree with God? Amen. It's not just admit it. It means to agree with God against yourself. In other words, you take sides with God against your sin. Agree with God in confession. Do you agree with God in communion? You know what the Bible says in Amos 3, verse 3? How can two walk together except they be what? Agreed. We agree with Him in confession. We agree with Him in communion. We should be walking with God as Enoch did. Are we agreeing with God in conformity? Romans 8 tells us, right, that we've been predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Y'all hearing that? Predestination don't have a thing to do with salvation. Amen. We're not Calvinists, not even a cousin of one. Predestination always, in every scriptural usage of the word, is always applied to save people. Amen. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, we have been predestined to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. Conformed to the image of His dear Son. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says we are being changed into the same image. You ought to see that going on in your life. As we behold as in a glass, which is a mirror, right here is the mirror according to James chapter 2, or is it chapter 3, beholding our natural face in a mirror in a glass? Chapter 2, I believe it is. As we behold in a glass the Son of God, we're looking at Him. The Bible said we're changed into the same image. We're in a day when Christianity that you hear most about now that says nothing about your image. The Christianity that's being preached about today is all about the inside and nothing about the outside. But that word image is what is visible to me. That's right. It's what you can see. It's what's visible. Of course, there's some, on the other hand, they don't major on the outside at all. All they major on is on the inside. And then there's some that majors on the inside and never says nothing about the outside. Both of them are wrong. True biblical salvation includes both. Amen. There's no such thing in the Bible as a Christianity that excludes your body. That's right. Get a hold of that and it'll help you. But we're being changed into the same image. I looked up that word conform in Romans 8 where it says that we're being conformed to the image of His Son. Guess what English word we get from that? Metamorphosis. Everybody knows what that is. That caterpillar worm that crawls around, unsightly worm, no beauty. Goes through the process of that metamorphosis process and wraps himself in a cocoon and all of that, but he comes out what? Doesn't come out what he went in. Did he become a butterfly? No, he was a butterfly when he was crawling around as a worm. But it was the process, Brother Ben, of being conformed. What happened was what was on the inside the whole time finally broke out on the outside. It was a butterfly on the inside the whole time, but it had to go through that process of metamorphosis process, amen, to where what was on the inside broke out on the outside. The first mention of that word that was used there in Romans 8, 29, that we've been predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. The first time that's used is in Matthew 17, when the Bible said Jesus was transfigured before them. On the Mount of Transfiguration, when they began to glow and all of that, guess what? And the Father spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." You know what happened, Brother Jeff, on that Mount of Transfiguration when the Bible said he had that metamorphosis? When he had that change, you know what happened there, Brother Jeter? What Jesus was on the inside broke out on the outside. Are we against the Father? Or are we in agreement with him in the area of confession, communion, and conformity? Can I ask you this quickly? I know y'all are getting done before me. Are you against the family? Are you against the Father, or do you agree with the Father? Are you against the family, or are you in agreement with the family? And when the family I'm talking about is verse 10, finally, my brethren. I'm talking about people in the family of God. Ephesians chapter number 3, it talks about when Paul was praying for the Ephesian believers, he said, "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." I'm glad when I got saved, God hooked me up with the church, the body of Christ. Amen. I don't have to go to church. I want to go to church. And I bless the Lord for that. Am I against the family, or I agree with the family? The church is the body of Christ having the same head. It is the bride of Christ having the same groom. It is the building and has the same foundation. I want to deal with this right quick. I want you to listen to this in 1 Corinthians 12. I was going to read several verses here, but for sake of time, I'm not going to. It goes down through these verses, and it talks about how that we're in one body, yet many members and all that. Verse 14, "For the body is not one member, but many." Listen, I'm preaching to the church just a moment. "If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set the members, every one of them in the body, as it pleased him." Notice that. Every one of them. Every one of them. And then it says in verse 19, "And if they were all one member, where would the body? If everybody was a hand, then there would be no body. The eye cannot say unto the hand, listen, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you." I want everybody to listen right here. "Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble," listen to what God said, "are necessary." Everybody that makes up this body is necessary. Are you against the body? Are you against the member? Are you against the family? when you won't speak to somebody in the church, that's the problem with that. When there's division, disunity, that means you're against somebody that's in the body. You better be careful. God said even those that we consider to be feeble, God said they are necessary. Amen. That's right. God help us. Boy, I'd like to preach that there, son. Are you against the foe or against the father or agree with the father? Are you against the family or do you agree with the family? Do we treat each other like that? Many members, but yet one body. Everybody's necessary. God help us. And are we against the foe or do we agree with the foe? I'm afraid that's probably what we do a lot, is that we agree with the foe. We're against, instead of being against him, we agree with him. Amen. He has his way in our life. And that's basically what chapter 6, that's basically what chapter number 6, Ephesians, is talking about, is wrestling against flesh, not against flesh and blood. Not against flesh and blood, and that includes the family. That includes people in general. They're not our enemy. But in chapter number 6, it talks about wrestling against, and then it lists the spiritual warfare that we have against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Am I against the devil? Am I against the enemy? And I'm closing with this thought right here. Am I against my flesh? Did you know your flesh, your fleshly human nature, is, it's not the devil, but it's its friend. It's the devil's friend. Do you know the devil can't do anything in your life without the cooperation of your flesh, the agreement of your flesh, the use of your flesh? I just wrote this down. I'll just read it off here. What are you against in your own life? Are you against your flesh? Are you against sin? Are you against slackness? Are you against carnality in your own life? Are you against prayerlessness? Are you against spiritual decline? Are you against robbing God in your giving? Are you against unfaithfulness to church and spiritual areas? Are you against feeding daily upon God's word? Are you against going days without worship? Are you against dead services? The list could go on. Those are things in your own life. And the point I wanted to bring out on that is this. If I'm not against those things right there in my own life, I'm not against the foe. I'm agreeing with him. I'm allowing and tolerating these things in my own life. Well, I don't know where we went and who got what this morning, but I believe we dealt with some very important things. Defending against defeat. Defending against defeat. Amen. May the Lord help us. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, I've tried my best to preach your heart and my heart this morning. Lord, I know that this morning it wasn't in the clouds and high spiritually, but Lord, I believe we need what was preached this morning, because if we don't want what was preached this morning and we don't adhere to the truths that were brought out this morning personally, then I believe that's the same as saying that all we're interested in is emotionalism in church. We're not interested in holiness and purity and godliness. We're interested in just coming to church and getting worked up to be able to shout a little bit. And I believe our shouting and our worship ought to be an overflow of our intimacy with you. Lord, as a pastor, as an overseer, as a watchman on the wall, Lord, I see decline. I see people that seemingly are losing ground. changing their mind, changing their course, their direction in some areas, bringing back into their lives some of the very things they've given up some things that you have put in their life. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name to help us today to know that we are not defeated because of the size of the enemy. We're not defeated this morning because of the seriousness of the enemy. We're defeated this morning because our relationship of what we're for and against concerning the Father, the family, and the foe. The devil's whipping us without a shot fired. Help us, Lord, to get back to the place where Jesus Christ is Lord of all in our life. That He has say-so in every area. That He has and sets upon the position of supreme authority in our life.